Today's reading is Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
So today we complete our little mini-series on praise and thanksgiving. And something you'll hear from me regularly is, if we actually understand all that Christ has done in our lives, we should be the most thankful of people. If we understand how God has actually broken through our own brokenness in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to provide hope and salvation, we should be the most thankful of people. And so it's very appropriate as we have a thankfulness service that we end up in Psalm 100 today. As we consider this idea of giving thanks to God, not just today, but every day throughout all of eternity. So I want to pray and ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll look at this together. Let's pray. Lord, help us to recognize all that you've accomplished on our behalf today. Help us to see your glory and your goodness. Help us to recognize the beauty of the gospel today. Speak to us now through your word. For your name's sake, we do pray. Amen. So I've told many of you this little brief story before, but I think it's very appropriate here. I have a friend, he's now a pastor in the Philippines, but he was previously a pastor at an international church in France. And he said he got to this church, and when he got there, he said, people were just a little grumbly. He said, I love the congregation, but they just seemed to kind of grumble about this and grumble about that. He said, so I made it a year initiative of thankfulness. Thankfulness in light of all that Jesus has done on our behalf. And he told me, he said, you know what happened over that year span? He said, it transformed our congregation. He said, it transformed our congregation because what happened is we stopped looking at all the things that were wrong and all the things that needed to be fixed and all the things we didn't like. And we started looking at the beauty and the glory of Christ. And the response of the people was just a natural outpouring of thankfulness. And I'm pleased to say, after being here a year, you're not a grumbly church. But I'm pleased to say you're a thankful church. Nonetheless, this is a great reminder for each and every one of us. A great reminder for us to consider the beauty of the gospel and consider that the outpouring of the beauty of the gospel is one of praise and thanksgiving to God for all that he is and all that he's done. So our big idea today, if you get nothing else from our time together, I hope you understand this. Our natural response to God should be a response of praise and thanksgiving. Our natural response to God. So I actually believe God created us to respond to him with praise and thanksgiving. That was the intention in creation, that we would be worshipers. And so our natural response to God should be a response of praise and thanksgiving. Notice I said should be. So for us, it's a challenge and an encouragement to consider how often is this actually the case, or how often is this like, well, it should be the case. But the natural response to the gospel should be one of praise and thanksgiving. And we'll look at this today in three opportunities to give thanks to God. Three opportunities to give thanks to God. The first one here is in the first two verses. We give thanks with service and song. We give thanks with service and song. Psalm 100 starts, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, we often kind of picket a verse like this where we say, I can't sing, but I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. But I think it's about much more than just us attempting to worship. I think it's actually the response to God when we see who he is, what he's done, how he's worked, that the response is just a response of praise, of thanksgiving. So make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Jesus said, even if we don't do it, if we don't worship and praise, even the rocks will cry out. And so the psalmist here is saying, the entire earth was made to bring glory and honor to the name of God. And so we're joining in with the chorus of creation. We're joining in with the chorus of creation that we enter in each week with this heart of praise and thanksgiving. But I pray it doesn't end right here in this service. When our hour and 15 minutes ends, that we walk out and we go, all right, I've done my praise for the week. But instead, we walk out and we say, now the outpouring of this through the rest of my week is one of praise and thanksgiving. One of making a joyful noise to the Lord. And then he continues in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So we give thanks with service and song. And oftentimes we think about service, and we think about service as just something strictly that we do in the church building during the week or on a Sunday morning. It's some kind of service that we're going out of our way to do. But I think this is actually pointing to something much greater than that. In Old Testament times, you would have had this idea of service would be a sacrifice brought before the Lord. It would have been going into the temple with a sacrifice to give to the Lord. A service is unto the Lord. And it says, coming to his presence with singing. This idea of entering into the temple with worshipful hearts, not just with duty. Not just with, this is something I'm supposed to do, so therefore I'm going to jump through the hoops because I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. But it's actually a heart attitude that we have. And to take that a step further, to see it on this side of the cross, Paul talks about we should be a living sacrifice. Our entire lives should be given in service to the Lord. And so for us, as we apply this, serve the Lord with gladness, your entire lives now become service to him. Why? Because we recognize all he's done for us. We're not trying to earn something. We're actually living out of all that we've already been given in Christ Jesus. So then we seek to be living sacrifices or living servants to God. Out of a response of thankfulness. And then it says, come into his presence with singing. Every once in a while, I'm not the greatest singer, but every once in a while in my office, I'm sitting there and I'll have music going when I'm studying and doing sermon prep, and I just burst into song of praise. Because you recognize in a moment, God meets you in a moment, and you respond with an outburst of praise, of singing. And more than that, this would have been a picture of coming into the presence of God, into the temple of God. More than that, the scriptures now tell us on this side of the cross, we are the temple of God. So it says, come into his presence with singing, that the very presence of God has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Through the work of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God resides in us if we're Christians. And so, in application for us as we think about this, every morning we wake up, we should wake up with singing saying, wow, I've been invited into the presence of God. I've invited the presence of God into my life through the work of Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks with service and song. So we respond to the good news of Jesus with service and song. This isn't some sense of obligation. This is an outpouring of relationship. The second opportunity we have here to give thanks to God is we give thanks when we understand God's care for us. It's in verse 3. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So the psalm starts and it says, sing praise and worship. And then it focuses in and it says, to whom are we giving praise and worship? Know that the Lord is God. Know that Yahweh, the God of Israel, He is God. He's the one true God. He's the one worthy of worship and praise. Know that the Lord, He is God. A starting place for many in faith is the understanding and recognition that God is the sovereign God over all. That He's actually in charge. And this is just pointing to that recognition of who God is. And so we respond in thanks when we actually understand who God is. We understand the character of God. We understand the care of God. And he continues and says, it is He who made us. He says, this is, He's actually our creator. He's our caretaker. And we are His. So a recognition that He is God, and more than that, that He's the creator, and more than that, that He's the creator and cares for us, that we are His. It says we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Once again, jumping over to this side of the cross, as we think about all that Jesus has accomplished, Jesus said in John's gospel, He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And so here when it says we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, we should immediately think about the Gospel of John and John's words of identifying Jesus as the great I am, as the good shepherd and the caretaker of the sheep, of His people. And He says, in John's Gospel, He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So there should be a sense of thanks when we understand God's care for us, that we are like sheep being led. Many people in Marblehead have dogs, right? Everywhere you go, you see people with dogs. And the natural byproduct of people that own dogs is hopefully they care for the dogs, right? That they care and they take them out and they take them for walks and they feed them and they water them. They do all of these things to care for them. And in the same way, it's a picture here that God in His care for us, we are like sheep that He wants to care for and shepherd and direct and feed and take to water and take care of, protect. And so Jesus says in in John's gospel, He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He says, but He picks His life up again. And so this recognition here of God's care for us in Jesus Christ is that He is the good shepherd that laid down His life for us, but then He picked it up again. He walked out of the grave alive. And so the response to this should be a response of just thanksgiving, that we go, wow. When there seemed to be no way, when there seemed to be no opportunity for escape from our sin and the consequences of our sin, Jesus stepped into the gap. Jesus filled the void, and not just that, He laid down His life for His sheep to pick it up again, to defeat sin, death, and Satan. And so we give thanks when we understand God's care for us. Our third opportunity to give thanks to God is in verses 4 and 5. We give thanks to God's goodness. We give thanks for God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. Verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. So this would have been pointing to temple worship. When you enter in with praise and thanksgiving for who God is and for what He does and how He works in the world around us. So we should wake up every morning with praise and thanksgiving for who He is and what He does and how He's worked around us, that we should bless His name. And then verse 5, it gives us some more character traits of God. For the Lord is good. Notice it doesn't say, the Lord is good, but. It says, the Lord is good, hard stop. It's who He is. It's His character. We sing the song, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. For the Lord is good. So if we actually understand the goodness of God, the care of God, the response should inherently be that of praise and thanksgiving to God. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Notice it doesn't say His steadfast love endures for a little while and then gets tired of us and then kicks us out to the curb. His steadfast love is never ceasing, never stopping. It's always and forever. I think it's in Julia's study Bible. It says it's always and forever unbreakable love. It ends every one of the little stories each night with that. His steadfast love endures forever. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. For the Lord is good and His steadfast love endures forever. And not just that, His faithfulness to all generations. So notice God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. His faithfulness from generation to generation to generation to generation. And the fact that the gospel has made it to our ears is just a glimpse of His faithfulness from generation to generation. And we could spend the rest of eternity talking about why we should be thankful for all that God is and all that He's done and all that He's accomplished. But these five verses just gives us a glimpse that I hope God uses to usher us into this time of testimonies of thankfulness. That we should be the most thankful of people. That we should be a congregation. That the world around us, the community around us, and they see us and they spend time with us and they go, you know, they're going through a really, really tough situation. But there is a hope and a trust in the God that they serve. There's a reliance on the God that they follow. In this Jesus, I don't understand it all, but there's something about them. We should be the most thankful of people. And so as we prepare to enter into this time of testimonies of thankfulness, I have three questions for us, just for you to consider in this week. Consider as you begin to think about how to express thankfulness for how God's worked in your life. First question, how often does God's work in your life prompt you to respond in service and song? Is this the natural byproduct in your life, that you respond and say, oh, when I recognize all that God has done for me, my response is one of service and song. Second question, how does recognition of God as your shepherd lead you to praise and thanksgiving? I mean, for me, just the recognition of like, He actually is in charge. He's actually leading the way, and I'm simply following Him. There's great hope and peace in that when I go, I don't know where to go next. How does recognition of God as your shepherd lead you to praise and thanksgiving? Third question. How does God's goodness, love, and faithfulness remind you to give thanks to Him? When we recognize God's goodness, His love, and His faithfulness, how does it remind you? On the days when you're down and you might feel a little grumbly, how do you respond in praise and thanksgiving? Well, the starting point may be just saying, who is God? Why is He worthy of worship and praise? And that we respond in such a way that leads to praise and thanksgiving. So now I'm going to pray for us and we're going to sing a song. And then this gives us time to kind of reflect on ways that we can be thankful to God. Ways we can be thankful that God has used this church in your life this year. As we prepare for this time to talk about, to give testimonies of thankfulness together. So I'm going to pray for us and then we'll sing together. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, may this time of testimonies of thanksgiving bring praise and honor and glory to your name. May it just be a testimony of your goodness and your love and your faithfulness to everyone that's here, just hearing stories of how you've worked this year. May we all leave in a response of praise and thanksgiving together, collectively, as we all go our ways after this service. Lord, speak to us now through your people. For your name's sake, we do pray. Amen.